this famous picture of this ironclad stone wall, a photograph. It was for years considered to be a great lost opportunity for the Confederate Navy. If only they'd gotten the Stonewall sooner, a number of writers said, it might have been real trouble for the North. But in fact, it turns out that the Stonewall was barely seaworthy. Its skipper, in fact, reported that its power had been much exaggerated, its seaworthiness very uncertain. In fact, the skipper considered himself lucky to have made the voyage across the Atlantic to the American coast. So I think the Stonewall isn't really a great might have been. It's a deeply flawed ironclad vessel the Confederacy would have had if it had come a bit sooner, but probably wouldn't have made much of a difference. What about Confederate privateers? Let's talk about them for just a moment here. Jefferson Davis offered commissions in April 1861 to anyone who wanted to function as a privateer. And droves of people stepped forward, hoping to go out and capture prizes which they could then tow to ports, either southern ports or other ports, and sell them, get money, make money out of this operation. Davis's action of commissioning privateers elicited a very strong response from Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln said, "You can't do this." This is where Lincoln argued that the Confederacy was not a nation, one of the instances in which he argued that. He said, "You're not empowered to do that, Mr. Davis, because you're not a nation of the world. You're just an illegal government in charge of states that are still really in the Union. We won't treat captured privateer skippers and their crews as members empowered to do what they're doing by a legitimate government. We will treat them as traitors and we will hang them," said Lincoln. Several privateer crews were taken by Northern ships, but Northern judges and juries were reluctant to convict them because the Davis government had said, if you hang our privateers, we will hang an equal number of officers that we have captured from the United States. So there's sort of a standoff. But when the crew of a privateer called the Jeff Davis went on trial, it was the most notorious of the Confederate privateers, the crew was found guilty and sentenced to death. Davis instantly ordered a group of Union prisoners of war to draw lots to see who would be executed in retaliation. Paul Revere's grandson was among the ones who was unlucky enough to draw one of the short straws in that lot. When notified of this, Lincoln backed down and announced in February 1862 that the Jeff Davis crew and the others would be treated as prisoners of war. In the end, however, privateers were not a real factor in the war because they couldn't find ports at which to sell their prizes. Neutral ports under pressure from the U.S. refused to admit prizes. The blockade made it too difficult to bring prizes into Confederate ports. So the privateers were a negligible factor overall. The real emphasis shifted from privateering to commerce raiders, Confederate naval cruisers, which usually destroyed the merchant vessels they captured rather than trying to sell them. And let's now turn to the commerce raiders. Now, there weren't very many of them in the course of the war. Only 20, but they cut a wide swath through northern merchant shipping. The most famous Confederate captain was Raphael Semmes, who commanded first the Sumter and then the Alabama. The Alabama would make an epic voyage under Semmes. It was by far the most feared of the Confederate commerce raiders. Semmes was a Marylander, orphaned as a youngster, joined the Navy as a midshipman at age 16, the United States Navy, and subsequently rose in rank and served in the Mexican War. He also studied law, left the Navy to live in Alabama before the war, but then went back into the Navy, the U.S. Navy, briefly before the war, and resigned again when Alabama left the Union in 1861, and he cast his lot with the Confederacy. He was given command of the first Confederate naval commerce raider, a steamer in New Orleans built to ply the New Orleans-Havana trade. He renamed it the Sumter. Fitted it to be a commerce raider, collected a crew of 92 that included 20 Confederate Marines, as well as a group of other men, and set sail into the Gulf of Mexico in June 1861. A six-month cruise resulted in the capture of 18 prizes before he was bottled up in Gibraltar. The Sumter put in at Gibraltar. The U.S. government put pressure on the local officials, convinced them not to sell any coal to Semmes, and Semmes